Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Corey, you want to open up for us?
Yes, right now we are joined by Dan Oliver, founder and chairman, I believe, of Myrmican Capital, based out in New York. Dan, you're one of my favorite guests to chat to regarding what is going on with potential Fed policy and how the markets, not only domestically but around the world, are reacting. We are chatting quite a bit off mic about the situation we are seeing, first of all, domestically with some pretty volatile markets, but then you look internationally and you have even more volatile markets. You feel that this is or could be the beginning of really this high credit environment that we are in slowly, actually not that slowly, starting to unwind.
Yeah, I do. You know, Ray Dalio, who runs the biggest hedge fund in the world, has been saying for a few months now that the world was heading towards 1937 moment. That was the moment during the Great Depression when the Fed thought things were back on track and they raised rates and reserve requirements and then things collapsed. I disagree with that for the simple reason that 1937 followed 3 years of total liquidation of the banking system, of capital assets. I mean, prices fell 90%, and the economy was starting from scratch. The 37 crash was caused by Roosevelt's quasi-fascist economic policies. I think the better analogy is to 1929, and I wrote a long report last week that's on my website. I think it's on your website, too, but pointing out the similarities between Fed policy in 29 and over the last few years. The Fed actually did 3 rounds of quantitative easing in the 20s to keep prices high. They tried to fall in 1921 after the overcapacity generated by World War I investment, right? I mean, the government encouraged investments in rubber and steel, all the things you need to create a war machinery. And the Fed tried to keep those prices high, and eventually in 1929, the effort got too much, and you had a total unwind of the credit system as those assets all became fallow. And to me, the analogy is exactly the same. We had this huge run-up in overcapacity because low rates encouraged overcapacity. It tried to unwind in 2008. The Fed stopped that from happening. We've had 3 rounds of quantitative easing to try to keep prices high, and now they're trying to withdraw from that by threatening to raise rates. All these commodity markets, which are subject to overcapacity, are crashing. And nowhere is that more clear than in China, which has had incredible investments in factories and ghost cities and all these malls known in them and all those sorts of things, trains to nowhere. And so we're seeing the credit unwind, and this is finally starting to affect U.S. stocks. And I think if that analogy holds, the next big policy action by the Federal Reserve isn't going to be tightening. It's going to be massively loosening. The only way you to loosen when you're at 0% interest rates is by printing lots of money.
So, Dan, last time that the U.S. printed a bunch of money, it helped the stock market go up. We've seen the bull market that occurred in pretty much all the conventional markets. Would it work again, or would it be different this time?
That's a great question, right? Because the reality is, if you look back at the last 30 years of Fed policy, every time credit's had a problem, every time assets have tried to liquidate, the Fed has run and rescued them, right? They rescued them in 87. They rescued them in the S&L crisis of the early 1990s. They rescued long-term capital management. They rescued the markets from the internet collapse. They rescued the market from the housing collapse. And so if you're just drawing a straight line, right, you would say, well, okay, well, the next big policy response will rescue the markets again, and so buy stocks in the dip and everything will be fine. And that's great. That actually worked in 1921. It worked in 1927. It didn't work in 29. I think it won't work this time. Simple reason that the Chinese demand is what pulled all the commodity producers out of their overcapacity problems in 2009. The Chinese, from 2009 to 2013, increased their bank assets deposits from $9 trillion to $24 trillion. I saw a metric, which I still can't believe, although it apparently comes from official sources, that the Chinese use more concrete In those 3 years, from 2011 to 2013, than the U.S. did in the entire 20th century. I mean, it just seems unbelievable until you go and you go to those YouTube clips and you see those empty cities and all those empty things. And so it was that demand that saved the commodity producers. I just don't see how the Chinese, forget about, you know, how powerful the Communist Party is and all the rest of it, how do they convince the market, the world, their own people that these ghost cities have any value? And those are the assets that back Chinese security instruments. And so I think that their market decline is going to continue to go down. You're not going to see them be able to stimulate the way they have in the past because they don't need any more empty cities. And that means that the commodity prices are going to stay incredibly low. Commodity companies are going to go bankrupt. And the people who lent money to commodity producers are also going to go under. And that is the mechanism by which the commodity slump gets transmitted to the banking system. It's the people who lent money. There's $2.5 trillion of debt in the oil and gas space. There's hundreds of billions of dollars in the mining space of debt. And the people who lent the lenders against those assets, which are now becoming worthless, are going to default. And I think that's how you'll see the jump to the bank system. And that is what's going to cause the Fed to force a Fed response.
You're talking about base metals. You're talking about industrial metals. You're talking about the conventional market. What impact, in your opinion, Dan, is this going to have on the price of gold and silver?
Well, that's the key question. I mean, I've been advocating going gold for a long time, and that's been a very painful trade to be in. I mean, the answer is that in a short-term collapse, you often see the currency strengthen in price, and the reason is because there's about $4 trillion of base money. There's about $90 trillion of debt. And so you get a tremendous short squeeze. People have to sell all their assets to raise currency to try to pay back their debts. Because if they don't pay their debts back, they lose their assets, the thing they bought on credit. And so generally, you see a big spike in the value of paper money. And then you see, well, okay, what happens in the aftermath? And the aftermath is one of two things. One is the Fed prints a lot more money to short-circuit that short squeeze, and then you get a big decline in the value of paper money. That's why you saw gold soar from 2009 to 2011. But there's another possibility, which is even more, I think, salient, and that is that if you look at the Fed's balance sheet, again, we look back at the analogy in 1929. In 29, they held 50% gold, and they held short-term government bills of a federal government that had very, very low taxes and could raise them. Now, raising taxes, I don't agree with it, but it certainly did preserve the value of those bills. Today, Fed assets are 6% gold at current prices and long-term government bonds, which have duration risk and also credit risk, because it's hard to imagine the government increasing taxes and getting more revenue from it. They can certainly increase the rates, but after a certain point, your revenue actually goes down. And the rest of Fed's balance sheet are funky mortgages they took over from the bank. So the Fed's balance sheet is a mess. And so when all the dust settles, you're going to find gold much, much, much higher. How does it get there? I don't really know. I mean, does the Fed wait for a short squeeze to send it lower first, and then it shoots higher? Or is the Fed intervening quickly? Dudley this morning, the head of the New York Fed, said, oh, gee, he basically said that the rate increase in September is off. And so it may be that the Fed intervenes fast enough that gold doesn't have that big decline for Francisco shooting up. And also, I'd mentioned that a lot of hedge funds are short gold, and so when they get margin calls from other positions, they have to go buy gold to close their positions. So there are reasons to think that we won't get that big drawdown that we saw, the initial drawdown we saw in 2008 before it soars.
Again, I think so much depends on what the Fed and the other central banks around the world do. It's unfortunate that we just can't go to any sort of a normal market, but I don't think the central bankers can or will let these markets react freely, because there is a lot of debt out there and a whole lot of uncertainty. And a lot of the comments that you're making here, Dan, really speak to me about a deflationary time. But that being said, in deflationary times, you have to find a way to protect your wealth. And I'm sure there are areas out there to make money, but it's just one of those aspects where I really do, and I see these markets moving down. I just hope that it doesn't lead to another long-lasting recession, which is a fear of mine because of how deep the Fed has gotten us into this, and other central banks for that matter. But Dan, always enjoy chatting with you. Thanks again very much for your time. Everybody stick around. Al and I are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN. We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com. The future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
That's disgusting. What's that smell? Roll down your window before I pass out.
It's those nasty fish oil pills I've been taking.
Why won't you just switch to Nutrigold fish oil like I did?
It's fish oil. What's the difference?
Well, my Nutrigold fish oil is sourced and manufactured right here in the USA.
What's so special about that? Aren't they all?
Are you kidding? Of course not. Only Nutrigold fish oil is 100% USA made, which is why it's so fresh.
100% product of USA and fresh? I like the sound of that. So no more fish burps?
No more fish burps. And that's not all. If you go to www.fishoil.best and enter my fish oil, you can save $5 like I did.
Now that won't be necessary. We can just share your bottle.
Nice try. Get your own at www.fishoil.best.
Sorry.
Get rid of those fish burps for good. Go to Nutrigold's U.S.-made fish oil products by going to www.fishoil.best and get $5 off by entering My Fish Oil at checkout.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. We are going back to Manhattan. We just spoke with Dan Oliver, who resides in Manhattan, works in Manhattan. We're now talking with Avi Gilbert. Avi is an excellent, excellent technician, also in the same part of New York City. Avi, this has been a very volatile time in the market, this past week specifically. What do you make of it?
Well, I think if you guys remember when we talked last, I said, you know, once we break that 2040 SPS level, it opens the door down to the 1800s. My ideal target was 1835. We came close to that. We had 1867. The potential exists, and we're still looking for confirmation as we speak, that the market may have bottomed. So we're still looking for confirmation of that, and we'll probably have a much better idea early next week. And if we do have the bottom in place, then we're probably going to be exceeding 2,300 in the SPX. But until we actually get a solid confirmation in place, there still remains the outside potential. We can drop as low as 1705 to 1740 into October. So we're treating this area very, very carefully.
So, Avi, over the last, let's say, 2 weeks, we've really seen a spike in volatility. You mentioned off mic that you were playing some of the volatility this week, and it was very profitable. I think anyone that can pull up volatility chart will see just how much that spiked early on this week. And I think everybody realizes when we're watching the Dow move by at least a couple hundred points every day, it seems like volatility is the new narrative of this market. Do you think that's going to continue?
Again, a lot of that is going to depend on whether or not the bond is in place or not. I mean, we traded over 200 points within the first 2 days of this week. I mean, it was just phenomenal. We haven't experienced trading like this for about 4 years. This has been just phenomenal trading. I mean, we made our year in 2 days. Whether it's going to continue, tomorrow is going to be a big day, to be honest with you. If we see a big red day tomorrow, if we break overnight below 1947 in the SPX, then I'm looking for a retest of the lows within 24 to 48 hours, potentially taking us even lower down to about the 1835 target that I had. So either a double low, or more like a triple low, or we can get down to as low as 1835. So a lot's going to depend on whether or not we can confirm a bottom within the next week or not.
Avi, got a question for you. Your charts have been pretty accurate in the past. What odds would you give that the market is going to break at the end of the week?
Where I'm sitting right now, and I'm looking at the pattern as we speak, 50-50 at this point. We're looking for confirmation. So right now, I'm saying it's probably about 50-50. You know, I may even say 60-40 that we go down again. But right now, you know, I'm just waiting for confirmation. I'm looking for the next trade to do on a big timeline. But right now, I'm just sitting here waiting for confirmation. The last 2 days, we haven't done a ton of trading over the last 2 days. First 2 days, you know, we just killed it. So for now, you know, we're just going to hold off and let the market shake out, and then we're going to get back in whichever way it's going to tell us to get back in.
Now, Avi, let's shift our focus a little bit to the precious metals. You have built up a pretty good following on our site, and we've gotten a number of questions that people want you to address. First off, let's talk about gold. I know that you like to focus on GLD. We saw GLD bottom, or at least hit a bottom somewhere around the 104 level earlier this month. It has since rebounded, but seemed to have been a bit of a muted bounce. What are your comments on the direction of gold, or GLD in particular?
GLD still has another lower low, one more lower low sitting out there. So I am not uber bullish yet on GLD. At the point that I'm looking at it right now, I'm looking at two regions of resistance, below which, as long as we remain below either one of these, we can be on our way to those lower lows sooner than later. The first is basically, you know, right where we are right now, just the 108, the 108.05 level. If the market remains below that overnight, then we could see a significant gap down tomorrow. I would then target the prior lows pretty quickly if we are not able to gap up over that level overnight. Should we get over that level, then the 110 to 111 region is going to be the operative region of resistance. If the market is somehow able to move up over that region, then I'm looking at a bigger rally up to the 116 to 118 region, at which point that will set up the run to lower lows. Seeing the market getting up to that high, not my primary expectation. At this point in time, for now, pressure remains down, so that's how we're treating it.
You know, Abby, the one comment that I would make is of late, concurrent with the very interesting gyrations in the market, gold did not perform as many of the folks thought it would when we saw the huge, huge drops in the conventional markets. But the one thing that I would say when you talk about strength and resiliency is that gold was incredibly strong during those periods of time, in that the price of gold certainly did not follow the drops in other markets, which you would think that would be a very strong possibility that would happen. But here's my question for you. Resiliency is one thing, but strength leading to higher prices is something entirely different. Let's talk a little bit about the ability of gold to move to a significantly higher price. I'd say it's probably not all that great right now. What do you think?
There are plenty of fallacies that are, you know, that are going around with regard to gold. One of the biggest fallacies that I've seen, and I even wrote an article this past week, entitled "The Gold Safe Haven Joke." The common perception is that when markets have volatility, people believe gold is the place to go. Gold is the safe haven. That is not true. If you actually take a look at the period of time between 1945 and 2008. Out of 10 out of the 11 recessionary periods during that period of time, gold had a negative total return. Now, if you look at 2008 and 2009, you will note, yes, it spiked up initially. But after the spike up, it lost 30% of its value. So gold is not a hedge against market volatility. Gold is going to run when there's a certain amount of fear as it relates to governments, or there are various fears that gold can run on. But from a sentiment standpoint, it has to be there in order for it to run. The pattern for that has not set up yet.
Abby, I'd have to agree with you on that aspect. Unfortunately, gold still has a battle in front of it right now. And I think a lot of the focus is on the conventional markets. Even seeing the pop in oil on Thursday when we are recording this, I think that is going to be on investors' minds. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but I do want to get you back on the show to chat a little bit more about GDX, GDXJ, and silver. Hopefully, we will be able to do that early next week sometime. So everybody come check out our website, kereport.com, for an updated look at what Abby has to say in those sectors. Abby, always appreciate your time. Everybody stick around. We are going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Okay, open your mouth and say ah.
Ah.
When your child has a sore throat, you need to know when to get help. The doctor recommended Say Ah Sore Throat Exam is your solution. The scientifically designed oral retractor offers a clear view of the throat, relaxing the tongue and minimizing gag reflex. Compare with a medical grade chart, website, and app. Then you'll know just what to tell your doctor. A wellness plan in your hands in minutes. Go to sayahnow.com. Sayahnow.com. The new mainstay for every family's first aid kit.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
You are an individual with your own thoughts, decisions, and actions. So why should you be penalized for not enrolling in the subpar health insurance mandated by the government? Be truly independent. Visit LibertyOnCall.org. LibertyOnCall.org is a bold, innovative alternative allowing you to take back control and make your own decisions about your health care. Mention this ad when you call to learn more. 800-714-6993. That's 800-714-6993. LibertyOnCall.org. Call today.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the sacral wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. We are chatting with Valentin Schmidt right now. You know, Laura Stein introduced us to Valentin probably 3 or 4 years ago. He is now the business editor of the Epoch Times, a very, very interesting newspaper. The Epoch Times is very wired into what is going on in mainland China right now, both the pros and the cons. I'd like to ask you a question, Valentin, and the question is, let's talk a little bit about the similarities between the United States and mainland China, and then let's talk about the difference. You got an opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, it's funny, but the Chinese supposedly they started off with a completely communist system a while back, whereas the United States, they started off with a completely libertarian system even longer ago. And now it is true that the two things seem to be converging, unfortunately, with a communist structure in the background. Now, what does that mean? If you look at the economy, then you have basically a very powerful central bank that micromanages the economy through setting interest rates and manipulating the currency either internally or externally. Central bank, by the way, for the people who don't know it, is on the list in the Communist Manifesto as an absolute prerequisite for a communist management of the economy. It is definitely not in the Constitution or any other libertarian manifesto for that matter. So unfortunately, we have that going in the United States as well. We have got big government, a huge government that again tries to micromanage the economy through regulation or again, manipulation. And I have to say, I mean, with everything that I list here, it's always less so in the U.S. than it is in China, but the principles are the same. Then you have basically a semi-censored media in both countries. Well, in China, it's 100% censored. In the United States, it's self-censored and also managed by the government. You have an authoritarian or a totalitarian police state in both countries, where increasingly the police are above the law, unaccountable. You have the secret spying going on. Again, in China, it's a lot worse with the firewall, the internet censorship, etc., and the persecution of several religious groups, such as the Falun Gong spiritual practice. But also in the U.S., with all this stuff happening, and you see that those people just aren't accountable. So we have that similarity as well. I think, did we touch all the major sector? What about the culture? The culture, yeah, culture is the same. It's basically consumerism, commercialism, buy your way to happiness. Money is very important. And again, China is much worse. Like, people just care about money. They care about nothing else. They don't have any moral, ethical values left. In the United States, again, slightly better. You do meet principled people every once in a while. But if you look at the pop culture, it's basically absolutely the same. It's degenerate. It's about selfishness. It's about money. It's about fun. It's about entertainment. And actually, some people say we have here something that what is called cultural Marxism. And actually, this Soviet defector from the KGB, he even in the 80s, he already came out and said that was basically the Soviet planners achieved a subversion of the American principles that they hadn't even dreamed of in terms of rejection of traditional values such as Christianity and the family principles, and again, libertarianism, freedom of choice, economic freedom. And that's the direction we are heading in. Again, much worse in China, where the CCP has waged war on traditional culture for the last 50, 60 years and killed people and killed monks and killed spiritual believers. Again, we are far away from that in the United States. But unfortunately, it is very true. The principles are very similar. But again, here in the U.S., and that's why we are still here, and not in Russia or China, is you have a certain degree of still economic freedom. You have a certain degree. You have religious freedom for sure. Yes, you're being spied upon, et cetera, et cetera. But in the normal course of daily life, that doesn't affect you. Whereas in China, yes, it does affect you. Tell me if I forgot something.
One place where I want to jump in here is I thought your comments about values were very, very interesting. You were talking about how the Chinese seem to be 100% focused on making more and more money. I would have to say that is definitely the case in the United States right now among those people who are able to do that. I mean, we do have a huge welfare society in the United States, and they don't seem to be focused on effectively making money. But I would have to say that most people, between the people starting out on their careers, let's say 25 to 40, for lack of better terms, they're very focused on that, I would have to say. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, I think, the old saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I think a person's values ought to be a little bit deeper than that, but that doesn't seem to be the case over here right now.
Well, this is kind of part of the system. Like, if you're out of college and you have a lot of debt, you kind of have to make money. Like I say, it's also in the system, consumerism, commercialism, success is defined mostly by material wealth. However, my experience since having come here in 2012 is I meet a lot of very principled people who are operating at a higher level. I recently had a chat with Robert Johnson, a former Soros trader, who basically, after probably having made a couple of million, who's basically now saying, that's not enough. We have to think about other things. He has the advantage. He's already rich. But still, I meet a lot of those people, and even people who don't have money. Sometimes they operate on principles. And also here in the U.S., again, big difference is it's not, money at any price. Like in China, people will kill for money, or they will sell you poison products if it makes them money, or that they will do anything. They will cheat you, they will rip you off, and they will even take your life, And in the United States, this is less the case. Every once in a while, of course, you have a scandal, but in principle, it's not the same philosophy. Again, in degree of degeneration.
Valentin, when we first started bringing you on the show, you were, I would say, the loudest voice out there saying the Chinese economy is not doing very well. We need to be aware that this high level of growth that they're at, right around 10%, is not sustainable, especially with the direction that they want to take it. It seems right now you have been absolutely proved right. Do you think that this slowdown will continue?
Well, yeah, it's actually shocking that pretty much everything I said is coming true exactly as anticipated. Well, no, this is just the beginning, basically, of the deleveraging of the financial system, of the biggest debt and asset bubble in history. And it's going to be extremely ugly no matter what the CCP is going to do. And that was always my base case. They're going to hit a wall. Regardless. So, I mean, you heard it here first. This is going to be the end of the Communist Party, because at the end of the day, the trade-off they had with the people was, okay, we are still in power and we basically suck you dry and we're corrupt and we're going to enrich ourselves, but you can make money too. And you can save, you know, and you can... you can have a decent life. But now, if that's not the case anymore, and the people will increasingly find out that their savings are going to be worthless because there's no way they can put them, real estate is down, stock market is down, bank deposits are susceptible to inflation, well, what else do you have? And you can't put the money outside of the country, well, at least officially. So what are you going to do? So the people are going to be pissed off, and they will revolt in one way or another.
That is a very interesting and very dramatic comment, don't you think, Corey?
Yeah, I would have to agree with that, Valentin, and I have to say I agree with you that China is moving down a direction that the people over there are definitely not going to like. I recommend everybody sticking around and listening to our next segment with Glenn Downs recapping his trip over to China and what he was hearing from people on the street, their feelings towards the government, the way things are going, and the PBOC. He's got some interesting comments, as you do, Valentin. It's always enjoyable having you on the show. Thank you for your time. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Atmospheric aluminum, mercury exposure, estrogen toxins from plastics, microwaves from cell phones and smart meters, and low-quality foods all combine to create conditions for the very high incidence of disease in our society. Now more than ever, we all need to be consuming those foods and herbs that epigenetically signal the cells of our body to produce energy, create proteins, and detoxify. When we properly support our bodies, then even in these toxic times, we can promote and achieve excellent health. One World Way is the first energetically encoded whey protein food derived from Amish pastured cows on the U.S. market. After 3.5 years, we've heard miracles occur for so many people. One World Way has a track record of promoting detoxification, improvement in elimination, and improvements in energy, skin quality, and elimination of inflammation. One World Way is formulated to mirror the macronutrient ratios found in mother's milk. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
Do you owe the IRS money? Has the IRS garnished your wages or put a lien against your house? The IRS has the power to make you pay back what they claim you owe and will stop at nothing to collect. There is a solution. Call Signature Tax now. Speak with our professionals and feel the weight of your tax burden lifted from your shoulders. Call now for your free and confidential analysis. 800-481-3147. Again, that's 800-481-3147. 800-481-3147.
Are you excited about the World Wide Web? Do you want a place where you can share your ideas and express yourself? Well, dial up your modems and stream on down to the GCN Live Community Forum. Lots of radical features await you there.
Wow, Internet guys, I'm so glad I went to the GCN Live Community Forum.
You too can discover why the World Wide Web is awesome. Just go to GCNLive.com/forum. That's GCNLive.com/forum. I'll see you in cyberspace. Friend GCN Live on Diaspora and Cross.tv.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection. Security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue for just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimpliSafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimpliSafeDefense.com. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Okay, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. Corey and I are chatting with Glenn Downs right now. Glenn, you just got back from a 10-day trip to China. You have a lot of interesting experiences to share with listeners from an economic standpoint, from an investment standpoint, and from a general political standpoint. What did you walk away with?
Well, Big Al, thanks for, and Corey, thanks for having me back. Yeah, I had the opportunity to be there on a privately funded foundation trip as part of an ongoing cultural exchange program that goes on between the two countries. And I happened to be there the week of the great beginning, at least, of the great devaluation of the yuan, or renminbi, as their currency is formally called. And also the same week there was the great explosion made so much of the news. But one of the things I was particularly interested in seeing was to see if I could see on hand, you know, on the ground, what kind of reaction people were having to the ongoing Chinese stock market meltdown. Also, I wanted to kind of get a sense of what, how much I could physically see with my own eyes of the slowdown over there. And I did come away with some real impressions. First of all, I did have the chance to witness up close and personal some of the so-called ghost cities. And I wasn't out in the middle of Mongolia or any place, but what you've seen, and I was up in the old Rust Belt part of China, and two big cities up there, Shenyang and another called Dalian, which is a big port city, up near North Korea and South Korea, that part of China. And they had had a chance to ride around on these eight-lane roads where there was just nothing around, and see blocks of buildings that had been built. You're guesstimating, but you'd see maybe 15 apartment buildings built side by side, maybe 1,000 units in each building, and there was nobody in them. And you saw lots of that, and they tended to be on the fringes of the cities. I guess they had built so many things so fast over there over the last 25 or so years that ultimately it wasn't like they built a ghost city in the middle of nowhere. It was just kind of like that was going to be sort of the next thing. And now if the growth has tapered off and slowed down, there they sit. And because they've got everything geared towards all this GDP, this infrastructure, capital investment related GDP that the communist central government over there is trying to drive, they just keep doing what they've been doing. So they're still building things, but you could see that there's still construction going on, But it's nothing like it had been. Gosh, you know, they said that the national bird of China was the construction crane. And I had the chance to be over there a few years ago, and that was still the case. Far, far fewer construction cranes across the landscape. I thought that in terms of the market, the stock market meltdown impacting people, more people that I had a chance to, and I'm not sure I was talking to the average Joe on the street, but I know I wasn't, as a matter of fact, but I was talking with a cross section of business, government leaders, people that were in what I guess nonprofit section of their country. All that's a little more melded than it is in our system, obviously. But many of those people were not personally invested in the stock market, and they were looking on at the stock market's decline over there with interest, but they thought that was something that the high rollers had really been involved in. Similarly, the currency devaluation, they didn't seem to think was really affected them one way or the other. They thought, again, this was something that affected multinational corporations and financiers, not them. And I'm not sure they're correct, but that's the way they felt. Maybe just like the average person over here would not think that a currency devaluation or revaluation would affect them, at least in the short run. That's just not the way their minds worked.
Glenn, what would you say would be your impression of how the citizens over there feel about the way the PBOC, the People's Bank of China, is handling the slowdown in the economy and also the devaluation? Are they losing faith in them?
Not yet. It's very simple. The similarities between the Western system and that system in China, they're getting closer, I think, is that people have been conditioned over a very long period of time to believe that the powers and the efficacy of central bankers and of the central government to do whatever it takes, quote unquote, to fix things. So just like here, if there's a dip in the stock market, you might have people get a little panicky. But right now, the notion is, you know, we've got the Bernanke put or the Greenspan put, or now it's the Janet Yellen put, and that the central bank will step in, meaning they believe that they've got the central bankers and policymakers have the ability and they have the faith that they will step in and do, quote unquote, whatever it takes to move things along. And that's been their sample size, I think, over there, just like it's been a sample size over here ever since probably the 87 market crash. But so therefore, we might be at peak central banker confidence here right about now, not only here in the U.S. and in the West, but also in places like China.
Glenn, I got a question for you, and I'd like you to answer this as specifically as you can. I've got a friend, and he maintains and has sent me emails fairly consistently that the markets are definitely not controlled. I believe that's not the case, but I'd like to hear your view on that. And if you believe that they are, as you just said, can you give us some specific reasons for that?
Well, I guess I would associate myself with both schools of thought, which sounds like a good Washington way of doing things. But there's no question in my mind that policymakers want to control the markets, and that I think the evidence is overwhelming that there's all kinds of interventions in the market, whether it might be the People's Bank of China going in and devaluing the renminbi. That's an intervention they were trying to achieve. They're trying to stop the market fall. You saw the People's Bank, the other central authorities in China basically outlaw short selling. That's manipulation, control.
Well, let's focus, if you would, on the United States.
Well, you've got the Fed at least tries to jawbone things up, and they talk about monitoring. I know that they monitor. Stock market levels and make central bankers' decisions, whether it's the Open Market Committee or dealing with the discount rate, those sorts of things, predicated on the state of the markets. And they've openly said that. I mean, I personally talked to one of the presidents of the regional Federal Reserve banks who flatly told me that. I mean, that was something they watched, and they did things based upon that. So they're attempting to control it. Over the long run, I don't believe that they have the power to control as much as some people think that they do. So in the shorter run, yes, I think they can and do manipulate things, you know, but over the longer run, at the end of the day, I think market forces do prevail. But in the intermediate term, what happens in the intermediate term, you have what Austrians like our friend Jeff Dice would say are all kinds of, there's consequential, all kinds of malinvestment. All kinds of bad decisions that are made by people based upon the price signals that they're sending out and based upon this, the mindset that they try to build up. People are taking much, much riskier bets than they have any idea that they are because they believe that the central bankers can always, because they think they do can control things and they will always be able to control things. They go, hey, what can I do? There's no place else to put your money. So we'll put ourselves in Tesla Motors or whatever it is, because you can't fail, because if it goes down, they'll do whatever it takes to get it back up. We'll have the stick saves and the buying interventions and things like that. So in the long run, I think we're going to have failure and it'll be much more catastrophic than would otherwise be the case. But in the short run, I think they clearly have been successful at manipulating markets and of keeping markets propped up and the like.
Glenn, I think along with your comments, there are two facts that are related but also very important, and that is the people and investors' faith in the central banks and the big investment houses who are supporting these markets, something like what you were saying there. And also their ability to have access to cheap money and their ability to continue to put it into these investments to keep the markets going. I don't know if this will change anytime soon, but I guess wrapping it up here, I'd like to say that right now the U.S. in my book still looks pretty strong when you compare it to the rest of the world. Al, you want to wrap it up for
us? Yeah, I would kind of have to agree with you 100%, Corey, and that's kind of the direction that I'm certainly taking our actions. I mean, you know, at my age, it's very important to have investments that will last long term and that make sense, and I think that's exactly what I'm trying to do. So I would agree, ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We're going to be right back.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corwin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoVite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoVite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. ExtendoVite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoVite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoVite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.